Good morning.
Today is a very special day.
It's a very special day.
Why is today a special day?
Because today is
TGIM. That's right.
Today is...
Thank God it's Monday.
Thank God it's Monday.
Is that a real thing?
Is that a real thing?
Why, yes, it is.
Google it.
You can Google it. It's worth a Google.
I don't need to.
I believe you.
You know what else I just realized?
It's showtime.
Live and local with Monica J on 92.3 FM and 99.1 FM Talk.
Thank you for being here today, and it's a pretty nice day outside. I know we've still got the smoke, but we're just going to have to put it out of our minds. Go about our business. It's what we do. Just keep moving forward. It's what we have to do. I know you're tired. I know sometimes you feel like giving up, but you have the strength to push through. You do. You have that inner strength. Just keep moving forward. It's the Monica J Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. And I'm not just happy, I'm honored that you choose to spend this time with me. If you miss any part of the show, I had a very interesting question on Saturday when I was out at the Heritage Day barbecue for the Douglas County Republican Party. And that was, a woman was explaining that she had missed part of the show and she really wanted to hear it because it was a show that I did not last Friday, but the Friday before last with Sean Meehan. And the whole 2 hours, we talked about the Constitution, how it's being regarded as just a piece of trash here in Nevada with what we're putting forward with, well, not we, the Democrats are putting forward and minimalizing our rights. And I said, well, go, you can listen to it on the podcast when you've got time. And she asked if that was a service, a membership. And I'm like, oh, hell no. I'm free to listen to on the air and I'm free to listen to in the podcasts. You can link it. You can put it on your websites. You can put it on, you know, you can send it to friends. 923fmtalk.com and 991fmtalk.com. You can also answer the poll question while you're there. Should young women be required to register for the draft? Now, this is in the NDAA. Matt Gaetz is saying, oh, that was a staff error. It got slipped in. Oh, that's nice, Matt. You just proved Nancy Pelosi was right. You guys don't read these bills before you pass them. What a bunch of... deep breath. Okay. Friday's poll question, if it turns out that the Arizona audit proves Joe Biden won the 2020 election, will you recognize him as the 46th president of the United States of America? 77% of those participating said no. All right. Remember that address, 923fmtalk.com and 991fmtalk.com for those podcasts, because if you miss any part of Lauren Spivak, then you are going to just, you're going to hate yourself. And again, he's going to be speaking for full length. I only get him for a few minutes, but speaking full length to the Mount Rose Republican Women's Club tonight at 5 o'clock at Paisan's. There are still some seats available. It is $40 though, because it's great food and it's a great speaker. So let me welcome him right now. All the way from Florida, it's Lauren Spivak. Lauren, thank you so much for joining me. Author, comedian, famous sweet guy. What other list of credits do you want?
Oh, well, sweet guy, I think, caps the ball.
I think that's my favorite, too. So, Lauren, you watch politics with an eye that I don't think a lot of people can understand. You really get down to the basics of what's going on around us. We talked a little bit on Saturday, and I really wanted to get your thoughts on something that people aren't paying attention to. And that's, you know, all they do is look at the market to see if it's up or down. But we've got some serious issues going on with fiat currency and, you know, the dollar as we know it could be going away. And people are always pushing precious metals. What do you think of all this?
Well, I think the dollar is in a lot of trouble. And I think there's an existential crisis coming for the dollar. And it's something that I've been thinking a lot about lately. A lot of people ask me about the difference between inflation and hyperinflation. And, you know, I'm sure some economist, you know, has declared that, you know, it's 25% or something, you know, which is useless. Like, you know, what's the difference between a hot day and a very hot day? You know, get 97 degrees. Well, there we go. That tells you nothing. But I was reading a really interesting article about Weimar Germany. This is Germany in the 20s, which had the hyperinflation where it ended up being something like 25 billion Deutschmarks to the dollar at the time. And it was making, you know, I spent half my life reading articles about, you know, historical economics because I'm the biggest nerd ever. Yeah, you should have added that to my list of credits. But it was making a really interesting point that there's two factors, and we usually only think about one. The one factor is just how much money you're printing. And we have been printing ourselves into oblivion. Mm-hmm. We've had these structural deficits for generations now. No one even talks about balancing the budget anymore. And we're spending, you know, $1 trillion, you know, more than we take in, which is all basically getting printed. There's lots of rigmarole at the Federal Reserve, but basically they're just producing new money. And not only that, I have to point out something which I think not so many people have quite focused on this, but from 1945 to 2000, that's 55 years, we had no major expensive trillion-dollar economic kinds of crises. You know, we had some crises, you know, the Kennedy assassination, but, you know, it didn't cost money in any particular way. In the last 20 years, from 2020 to today, just 20 years, we've had three of them. The first was 9/11, which caused us to spend trillions of dollars, some of it in ways that were probably clearly necessary, most of which probably weren't. Then we had the financial crisis in 2008. And what did? We spent trillions more dollars.
Bail out those banks.
Yeah, that's right. We had to bail out everybody. And then, again, people, you know, I don't think quite realize how big this is. Do you know what the most expensive thing the United States government has ever done in our 250-year history? The most expensive single thing, the second most expensive thing we've done was fighting World War II.
Okay.
We spent, and this is an inflation-adjusted dollars, so there's no inflation in this. It's all modern dollars. We spent about $3.7 trillion to win World War II over 3.5 years, because that's how long it took. In one year, we spent $4.1 billion. That's 4.1 trillion, which is 400 billion more on COVID, which was mostly just paying people to do nothing. You know, World War II, we actually produced stuff and we actually won the war. You know, COVID is spiking again, and all this money we spent was basically flushed down the toilet. So, and that's all on top of the regular budget, and we haven't even finished COVID yet, and the Democrats are trying to force through $5 trillion additional dollars in what they call infrastructure, but it's really just payoffs to their friends.
Thank you. I was going to say, I just call it what it is, and that's money laundering.
Yeah, well, basically, when the Democrats take over, when they win an election, and this is the same thing Obama did in his first year, it's the same thing Clinton did in his first year. When the Democrats win, they immediately set about transferring as much taxpayer money into the pockets of their leftist friends that they can. That's what they're there to do, is to raid the Treasury. Okay, they basically just rob the place.
Well, that's how I look at the National Defense Authorization Act that was just passed through the House. That's the payoff for the military complex.
Sure. It's, you know, national defense, you know, is great as a concept, but it's basically just become just another excuse to flush trillions of dollars down the toilet. There was a big article that got a lot of attention in the left-wing press that the richest 1% underpaid their taxes by something like $147 billion. And I laughed out loud. Who cares? What would we have done with that $147 billion if we had collected it?
That's exactly what they're doing with Biden with $500,000. It's like, really? Isn't that pocket change for him? Go tell his son to get it from, one of the countries that are paying him off.
Get it. Make another painting. Get it from Burisma. Okay.
Exactly.
I don't want to get too far off this point because I think it's really important. So the first thing is that we are printing trillions and trillions and trillions. The money supply has just been going through the roof. Which is half of the inflation picture. But the point of the article about Weimar Germany was this: to get to really hyperinflation, this is where the paycheck you get on Friday, if you haven't spent it by the end of the day Friday, it's worthless. Okay? People in Weimar, the inflation rate was so fast that when you got your paycheck at 5 o'clock Friday afternoon, your goal was to spend it all within an hour. Because if you waited till tomorrow, the prices would have shot up so much further that it would be worthless. And it didn't matter what the stores had to sell, because whatever they had, you bought it, because it was better than keeping the money, which was going to be worthless tomorrow. To get to that kind of hyperinflation, you have to tug at both ends. First, the producing money and spending it like a crazy person, which is what we're already doing, and we're doing it faster and faster and faster. The other half is to stop production, because what the value of money is there's two factors. It's how much money you have and how much stuff you have to buy, right? If you have twice as much money and twice as much stuff, prices should stay about even, right?
Yeah.
But if the money goes up and the stuff goes down, that's when you're burning this candle at both ends and it goes crazy. What happened in Weimar Germany is they weren't paying their reparations fast enough, and the French decided to occupy the Ruhr, which is the industrial area of Germany, and basically just shut down their industry to force them to pay up their reparations. But the result was that they were already printing money like crazy to pay for their government, and then they couldn't produce anything because the French literally stopped them from producing. And that combination is what takes you to a hyperinflation. There was a lady in Germany, there's a story that she accidentally left a basket full of money, currency, on the sidewalk when she went to a store. And when she got out, someone had thrown her currency into the gutter and stolen the basket. to get to that kind of inflation.
And we're going to see that, Lauren, because we've got, the Democrats want to raise the debt ceiling, and yet we've got how many ships that are floating out in the ocean in the queue down at the docks in Los Angeles, and ain't no workers going to unload those things, so we ain't got the products either.
Yeah, well, that's the other half of this.
Well, let's talk about that other half. I got to take a quick break here. And okay. Phil just gets so upset if I don't come to him. So Lauren Spivak, my free market warrior, is going to be back with us. And it is the best way ever, ever to learn about economic literacy.
99.1 FM Talk. This is Talk Radio. The original social media. KKFT.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. And my special guest joining me right now, Lauren Spivak, and you are just the man, sir. My emails are going crazy in the texts. People are already calling in with questions for you. I don't know. I might have to keep you on for a little bit. Tell the guy to bring up Zimbabwe and $100 trillion notes in that country. This is why I can't do currency exchange.
Well, what's interesting is that the Zimbabwe dollar was actually worth a little bit more than the American dollar as recently as the early 1970s. It was worth about $1.25.
Wow.
And then within a couple decades, it was
100 trillion to 1. They were literally printing $100 trillion notes because they just. Yeah, but again, it's exactly what we're doing. We are now the economic policy of the United States is Zimbabwe economics that we just print money to pay for everything. But I want to tell you, just to get the other half of this in here, that's not the worst part of the problem. There is a worser problem, which I call the unearned money crisis, because more and more Americans are becoming addicted to living off of money, which is unearned.
Yep.
And this, I think, is absolute poison for society, because there's an unspoken social compact about money, which is, it's very simple. We all want things that other people produce, right? I don't make, you know, iPhones. If I want an iPhone, I got to pay someone else who's producing it for me. I don't make all kinds of things, and neither do you. And the deal is that you produce something for somebody to get your money, and then you can use the money to get stuff produced by other people. Once you take a chunk of society, and it's an ever-growing chunk, with COVID, I think it became practically all of us. Once you're giving people money that they have not produced anything in exchange for, you've broken down this entire social contract. Why should anybody actually produce anything for anybody if people are getting money without producing anything?
And you know, that's what they want,
I'm entitled to what you produce, but I produce nothing. You know, if you and I were stranded on a desert island, you know, just the two of us, you know, presumably we'd share the work and help each other. And if I like, no, you work. Okay, I just get half of whatever you get. You have to give me your stuff, and I'm giving you nothing.
You know, you would be smothered in your sleep, actually.
that's right. I'm going to find myself floating out to sea, strapped to a coconut.
Hey, you know, Laura, I've only got a minute here, and I want to plug your books and make sure people can find you. And tonight again, Paisans on Longley Lane, 5 o'clock. Lauren's going to be speaking about 6. It's $40, but you had a very
my talk, by the way, is called Why We Fight, and it's about understanding what the left is really about in the world today.
Oh, I'm very excited.
It's a really good talk.
Where can people find you online?
Oh, my goodness. I should know stuff like that, shouldn't I?
Well, yeah, because you have a Facebook page. And
I have a Facebook page. It's LaurenSpivack. If you spell it right, I'm the only one on earth. And I also, I believe it's fmwarrior.com. I have a website that just kind of tells my story and has some contact information and things like that.
Well, it's funny because back in 2009, you went through what a lot of people are going through now. And that is you know, being the free market warrior in your store, you were selling things that were critical of Obama. And because of where your store was at, owned by Simon Property Group, you got kicked out.
That's correct. It's interesting. I'd been there for several months, and I knew everyone at the mall. And I was selling, you know, political material, books, bumper stickers, things like that. And there were no problems until somebody put a story about me in the newspaper, and it got to the attention of National Simon Property Group headquarters in Indiana. And they decided that their property can't have conservative stuff. So
just unbelievable. I mean, we see that going on.
I was offending people.
We see that now going on with, you know, with COVID and with the passports. We have an event center here. It's called the Pioneer Center, and they actually require verification that you've been vaccinated to go see one of their shows.
One of the things that I'm going to be talking about tonight is the fact that one of the key differences between the left and the right is that we have principles. That is to say, principles that apply to everybody all the time, like free speech. I disagree with plenty of people. I would never, ever try to stop them from speaking, because as a fundamental principle, I think everybody should be allowed to speak. The left does not have principles. To know what they want to know what rights that you have, they have to know what side you're on. If you're on their side, then you got rights. If you're not on their side, you're not entitled to rights. And that's very much what they believe.
And it's pretty sad because I don't know if you know this, but in Clark County, just last week, they passed that if you say anything derogatory about COVID or about vaccinations, that you can have action taken against you. So they literally shut down people's First Amendment rights. But I have to tell you, if you get a chance to see Lauren, you need to do it. And, you know, even pop by the dinner tonight, because he'll have his books available. One of my favorites is the second book. Actually, all of Lauren's books are my favorites, but the second one that he put out, The Gorax, a play on the Lorax, is an anti-environmentalism, pro-capitalism parody starring Al Gore presenting his movement as a threat to American freedom and standard of living. You know, it's just, it's great stuff. And you can pick up his books tonight as well. But I am so excited to hear you speak again tonight. This is absolutely fantastic. Lauren, I got to let you go, but I appreciate your time. It's very valuable. And I appreciate you coming all the way from Florida to little old Reno, Nevada, to give this talk tonight.
One of my favorite towns. It really is.
Well, you know, maybe you should think about that and move here and help us fight. Oh, wait, no, Florida's a hell of a lot better. Never mind. You've got DeSantis. We've got Sisolak. What can I say? That could be your next book right there. Sisolak. All right, Lauren, thank you, and I'll see you tonight. You have a great day today. It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Lauren Spivak, our special guest.
Live streaming at 99.1fmtalk.com.
The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada. KKFT 99.1.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. We have so much still to talk about on today's program as we wind down the last half hour. You know, we've been talking a lot about illegal aliens and the refugees that are coming in. And I hope you didn't miss this story, because I didn't catch it on the news, but an illegal immigrant Mexican teen was busted for setting wildfires in California. Yeah. Yeah, this is different. This is a different story from the environmentalist, the woman that was caught and is now going to be charged. So it's not climate change. It's not. It's people out setting these fires on purpose. And it's the Department of Forestry not doing a good job of cleaning up the forest floor. Mother Nature didn't have the problems that she has now way back when, because, well, at the time, we weren't living in these forests. And we didn't have environmental groups coming along saying, oh, you know, you can't pick that up. You can't pick that up. You can't cut that dead tree down. You can't, you know. And if you look at some of the pictures that have been coming in, very interesting, especially around the Lake Tahoe area, the huge mounds of, they call it thrash. It's all the garbage. It's what's left, all the dead branches, all the, you know, all the stuff that has been nicely packed into piles that seem to catch on fire. Wow. Okay. Getting back to our poll question, I want to read a couple of responses. Linda, thank you for this. Should young women be drafted into the military? Now, I'm getting both sides. Okay. So we got some people out there saying, hey, equal rights. In for a penny, in for a pound. You want equal rights? Well, guess what? You got to be drafted in the military. And you know what? No. Because there's a difference between equal rights and this feminist push that, you know, there's no difference between men and women, because there is a huge difference between men and women. And there's a huge problem going on in the military. So Linda writes, absolutely not. The chiefs of staff in all branches of the military do not have a handle on the sexual harassment, sexual assaults, and rapes that have happened to females now. I would not even encourage my daughters and granddaughters to enlist at this point. And that's true. We have people bring forth complaints all the time, and yet nothing is done. It's put on a back burner, or the women are, they're pretty much bullied into silence. So, do you still think that way? I don't think so. I think it should be a choice. And to be honest with you, I think it should be a choice for the men as well. Because we're going into wars and into situations that we have no control over. That the elitists, as we have heard over the years, you know, you've got the Rockefellers and those types who are funding both sides. They fund both sides of conflicts, not just World War I and World War II, all of the conflicts, because they make even more money from it. You know, that's exactly what they're doing now. Funding the situations between, oh, well, let's get a trifecta here. Let's get China, Russia, and Iran against America. We'll take America down one way or another. That is their belief. And we can't let it happen. I mean, look at the way that the military is being treated right now. These people that are turning in their commissions have the threat of court-martial. I'd say be court-martialed. Let them take your pension. Get everything documented. Because we will win in the end. You're not going to win taking the shot. And if you think that was actually Biden getting a shot this morning, come on. You know why movies look so realistic? Yeah. They're called props. Unless I had that needle in my hand with a vial in my hand that I knew had this poison in it, he more than likely didn't get anything but a vitamin B booster or something to keep him awake. But that's just my opinion. So let's get back to one other thing here. Because once again, what is good for the left is not good for the right. And I kid you not. 2 years ago, President Trump, you might remember, pulled the United States out of an arms trade treaty that John Kerry and Obama got us into. Thank goodness Trump got us out of it. But wait a minute, because just because Trump got us out of something doesn't mean that we can't get dragged back in. And that's exactly what Biden is looking to do. But somebody has made the statement that, well, let's just say the people who feel that they're standing in the way of all of this, the Republicans, that they need to be killed. I kid you not. People are saying government entities, Democrats, are saying that the Republicans who stand in the way of this need to be killed. Could you imagine if a Democrat, if that person was actually a Republican saying that? Plus, you need to know that the UN, well, Biden could actually use the UN to come in and do the gun grab if he gets back into this arms trade treaty. They could also use them to control the border. They could also use them to control you and I. The UN is in this country. And the blue hats are already here. If you know what that means, then you know what I'm saying. Be ready. It's the Monica Jay Show, but it's also your show at 884-9910 through talk and text. Gene's on the line right now. Gene, you say you got a lot of stuff, but I've only got a couple minutes. What's on your mind?
You know, I saw this this draft thing come up in the legislation.
Uh-huh.
With
you Pelosi. Read the legislation?
Well, I didn't read the legislation. I just caught wind of it here moments ago. But I had something to say. You know, I had the opportunity to meet Rand Paul in 2016 in Carson City, who's campaigning for president. And he took some questions from the audience. And, you know, I had to really, you know, think of what really, when he selected me to ask a question, I came up with, you know, can we keep sending the same people over and over and over again on deployments to the Middle East or wherever else in the military, and the same people, the same demographic over and over? And isn't it time for a military draft so we have a more shared demographic representation of people, folks serving in the military? You know, so we really reach into those upper tier demographics and across. No one would be immune from military service, you know. And he had a tough time answering that question. But the point being is with everything that's going on with the left, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, all of this, the nation destructive energy that they have, I can't think of anything better than a draft card for these folks. I think nothing would turn them around faster than 12 weeks with Gunny Sergeant Highway.
Yeah, because you're never going to see any of these people with the last name of like Rockefeller or even Biden, you know, out as infantrymen. You're not going to see them going through basic on the front lines. So I think that, you know, the elitists need to be drafted first.
Yeah, I do think that we need to reinstate the draft. And I was very careful in how I asked that question to Mr. Paul, the shared demographic representation, because it appears to me that in the U.S. Army, in the U.S. Marines, it seems like the bottom tiers of the middle class, if their sons and daughters are signing on for military service, and everyone else just seems to be exempt to drive around in their RVs and their Lear jets and whatever else it is that they do, you know, tone deaf to these issues. And I'm glad that the specter of a draft was raised in Congress, because I think I don't think any of the branches of the service are meeting their recruiting objectives in any way. I think that there's a big problem with the military and military national security readiness for this country. And I can't, you know, as an example, I can't, you know, John Kerry is one of the biggest carbon emitters on the on the planet. I'd like to reach in and grab one of his family members, you know. And I hate to vilify Mitt Romney, but I was always taken aback during his run for presidency that he presented his 8 sons that he has, and not one of them had signed on for any military service. So we do need a draft to reach in and start snagging people out of that elitist class. And then maybe we have a little bit of a policy change as well.
Yeah,
we won't
but
be so quick.
It just like somebody had just texted me, Gene, they'll always get deferments. That they'll always, always be protected. Reinstating drafts or anything like that, the only people that it's going to affect are people like you and me. Gene, I got to let you go. I got to wrap up the show, but I appreciate your time today. Thanks for calling in to 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Audience participation suggested. KKFT is Nevada's Fox News FM Talk station. 99.1 KKFT. KKFT.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Gosh, I absolutely love you guys. Thank you for always bringing a smile to my face. Yeah, this is adorable. And again, we didn't behave at Street Vibrations. We just didn't get caught. You know, we're supposed to have some fun. And as we see every day, politicians, these people who think they're in charge of everything, come in and say, no, you're going to do it this way. We want you to do this. You're going to wear helmets. You're going to wear seatbelts. You're going to not smoke in these locations. You're not, you know, I'm just really getting tired of all this. And we've let it happen. We've let it happen, all of us. Because people who don't smoke have signed on with the regulations against smokers. The people who feel or fell for the trap of, you know, oh, well, all those people who crush their skulls from not wearing helmets, you know, you're paying for their health care and blah, 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 blah. Really? I'd still rather be paying for their health care than people who break into this country illegally or sending money off to people who are actively trying to kill us. Just saying. This is America. Home of the free, land of the brave. Well, home of the free because of the brave. I appreciate everything you do, but most of all, I appreciate you being yourself and being honest. And yes, the draft is to get us all into the military as the grunts to clean up the actions of the others. We lost 13 amazing people. 13 people who sat behind a desk listening to the benefits of being in the Marines or the Navy or the Army and decided that it was worth the sacrifice, that they could possibly be in a situation where they don't come home. And yet they signed the papers anyway, of their own free will. And I get that, and I think that's the most honorable thing there is. But when those higher up the food chain know that something is going to happen, know that someone's going to get hurt, has the information, and they do nothing, whether you be in one of those three-letter agencies or a commander-in-chief, if you have that information and you do nothing, it's still no different than murder to me. When you see someone in uniform, be kind, say thank you. I've even been known to buy a meal every once in a while. It's going to get harder for people. People may be forced into doing something that they don't want to do. But as long as we all stand together, we can get through this. We can. In the end, God wins. The script's already been written. Love you. Have a great day.